Hi guys, welcome back for episode 35. So last week we talked about converting authority into influence and business growth. And the big takeaway with last week was that trust and credibility attract ideal clients and accelerate business impact. This week we're going back to the very foundation of your brand, and it's your business name and why it matters more than most people think. So why does your business name actually matter? Well, your business name is the first impression that anyone has with you before anyone reads your website or sees any of your marketing. And a strong name impacts memorability, so being top of mind for prospects, credibility, the perception of professionalism and authority, and differentiation, standing out in a crowded market. So some common mistakes that we see quite a lot with business names is generic names, hard to pronounce names, or names that will limit your future growth.
Yeah, 100%. And we've seen that ourselves. We've got a client, for instance, called Wild Posy Co. There's another Wild Posy out there. And our client, Wild Posy Co., used to have the domain name wildposy.com.au, which is a bit of a mouthful. But that was really quite confusing with Wild Posy, because they had .com.au as well. So there was only the .co part. So that in itself, in my personal opinion, is probably a no-no. So I would have not have went with the Wild Posy myself, but I can see why they did. And they are in different areas of Australia. So I suppose in some way, you know, there is a bit of difference there, but anyone searching online that doesn't actually check which website they're on and doesn't know the difference might get that the websites mixed up. So they might end up buying flowers from one, but thinking they're buying it from another.
Which I think they have had quite a few problems beforehand, yeah.
But what we did do for them is we changed their domain name to the .co version. So .co is basically .company. So rather than their domain name being wildposy.com.au, we changed it to wildposy.co. So that was an exact match to their brand name, which was a good way to go.
Yeah. Some key principles for choosing a great business name. One is clarity. So it should communicate what you do and what you stand for without there being any confusion. Simplicity. It needs to be easy to spell, pronounce, and remember. You know, when you think of Nike, you know, that's sharp, small, straight to the point, and it's memorable. Same with, you know, like Dior, any of the brands that, you know, you think of straight away. Relevance. It needs to resonate with your target audience and reflect your brand's personality. Fourth, uniqueness. It needs to avoid blending in with your competitors. It does need to have that bit of difference. And five is scalability. So it needs to be able to allow your business to grow, expand, or pivot without being restricted by your name.
Yeah, now if you take Adonis Media as an example, what we'll do is we'll actually apply these principles to our own brand, because that might be quite interesting. So just to give you an idea of how our brand came about. So I started business way back in 2002, I think, and I was running a car detailing business. During that time when I was doing that, I learned about, you know, developing websites, because we couldn't afford the price back then, because websites were only just coming into fruition. So the car detailing business was called Perfect Polishing. Now, even with that business name, people thought that we were French polishers rather than car detailers, you know, which is not something that we really considered. But back then, or, you know, 22, 23 years old. So when we started doing the web design stuff, I decided that I wanted to start sell one the perfect polishing business and go with what I called perfect designing. And that was because back then it was just web design. There wasn't much development, and there was certainly no SEO or anything at the time. So what happened then is we then rebranded in 2010 because there was loads of confusion over that brand name. And because it had ING at the end, that we were getting contacted by a lot of people from India and things, it was just such a strange thing to do. So we rebranded to Adonis Media, which came about because I was in the gym at the time and I see myself as the Adonis. But I kind of thought that was a little bit cheesy. And then I searched for other meanings in the word Adonis, and that's where the Adonis Blue Butterfly came from. Now, the whole point to the butterfly within our brand now is about transformation and growth. So we're a B2B growth agency. So that whole butterfly theme actually transmutes right throughout our brand with the transformation and growth. But also that, by making a small change in your marketing, your messaging, your positioning, can be like the butterfly effect, and it can make massive change within other parts of your business for to help drive growth and revenue. So that's where Adonis Media came about. So when you think about clarity, it probably doesn't communicate what we do just by saying Adonis Media. But once you understand our brand and what we stand for and who we are and what we do in terms of transformation and growth, then it does start to become a bit clear, but it's not immediate, I would say. Simplicity, easy to spell, pronounce and remember, depends where you are. In Scotland, people pronounce Adonis as Adonis. In Australia, they pronounce it Adonis, Adonis, rather than Adonis. So to me, there's a massive difference there. That's like pronouncing my last name as Bunton rather than Buntin. It's annoying. So simplicity, probably not there. Relevance resonates with your target audience. Well, it probably does, because we're a B2B growth agency. We're all about transforming your business and helping drive revenue. Uniqueness. Yes, I would say it was unique. I wouldn't say we blended in with our competitors. Plus, our brand is woven right throughout everything that we do. And we will be launching Metamorph IQ and Metamorph OS shortly, which again keeps in with that theme. Scalability. Well, we have had to pivot slightly. We are expanding. So we're not really restricted by the name, if you like. And we do actually offer a whole host of different kind of services and things like that as well. But these are the things that you really need to choose in a great business name. And it is getting even more difficult. You might come up with a business name, but then once you think about the business name, you need to think about, is the domain name available? Do I need to trademark it? Do I need to trademark the name? Can I trademark the name? Can I get a logo done that can be trademarked, etc.? So there's a whole host of different things that you need to consider when you're choosing a great business name.
I know when we were doing Borderia's business name, I remember you telling me, don't make this something, that sounds dumb or something that's too easy, but it needs to be something that's, that positions you differently, but is, easy. And even when I thought, oh, I've come up with this great, amazing business name, and then you go into dun, 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 have a look, see if it's there, and it's already taken, and yeah. So you might have a few different names as well that you come up with, and you might need to pivot it as well to suit, your brand or whatever you're doing.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So how names affect perception and authority. So some examples of brands that command attention due to their name, you've got Nike or Nike, as we call it. Australians call it Nike.
I think the correct pronunciation is actually Nike.
I think it is too. but or maybe we're wrong. They've got their brand story of Just Do It. They've got the tick. Nike is short, simple, straight to the point. It's memorable. What you need to remember with that brand is they've been around for 50 plus years, I believe. They've been around for quite a long time, and they invest a significant amount into their marketing and being, everywhere. And they've also been doing quite a lot of influencer partnerships as well.
That's right. And if you compare, say, Nike to Adidas as an example, which probably hasn't been pronounced properly either, because some people call them
Adidas.
Adidas. As if you even look at the two different brands, I mean, two of them are well known. They almost offer the same thing, but they're positioned differently. Nike is more about, the sporty, team sport type person, whereas Adidas is more about streetwear and street cred and that kind of stuff. So, it's pretty good. And that when you see the three stripes without the word Adidas, you know what it is, eh?
Yeah.
You know.
It's like McDonald's, If you see red and yellow together, the first thing you think of is McDonald's. Or
Or
if
the
you see
gold
a golden
arches.
M, you're gonna think, oh, McDonald's, without specifically seeing that it says McDonald's. And you go away and they only give you a little bit and you have to guess what the logo is. That's a memorable brand. That's what you want. You want people to think of your industry, and the first thing they think of is your logo, your business name, your, you want to be the main focus. And having a strategic name will position you as the obvious choice in your market.
You think about Salesforce. Salesforce was initially a CRM for salespeople, and so they call them their name Salesforce to obviously attract that particular ICP.
Yeah. Something you want to avoid when you're picking a business name is trendy names that are just gonna, date quickly, or they're just gimmicky names to undermine your credibility. You don't want that. You want it to be as professional as possible and resonate with, your story, your business story. When you have a story behind you, people are more inclined to, get on board in that and resonate with you as well.
Well, if you look, I mean, if you're talking about business names here, if you think about Liquid Death, right, that's water, right? That's what they sell is water. Now they've taken like a completely different position in that particular market, and they've named it Liquid Death because people are going to be drinking some Liquid Death, which is water. I mean, it's a total play on words, if you like, but I mean, their marketing is top notch, so people know Liquid Death. So if you're going to drink water, do you want to drink the water that looks like every other bottle of water on the shelf, or do you want to drink that can of Liquid Death?
Like the water brand Fiji. They market themselves as premium water, and all it is water. But because, their branding's there,
Well, see, that's
position
perception.
themselves, yeah,
And
position themselves.
this is exact things that we're talking about there, the name, how names affect perception and authority. If somebody's selling water that says Fiji on it, the automatic assumption there is that that water is from Fiji.
Yeah.
So what does that actually show you in your mind? You might be thinking a beautiful tropical island with nice fresh clean water,
So naming strategies and approaches. So descriptive. So you've got explains what you do. So an example of that, I guess, is DIY pool professionals. What are they? They DIY pool professionals. Straight to the point. You've got evocative. So it conveys a feeling or experience. So like Apple or Patagonia. You've got invented. So completely unique and often brandable. This is ones like Google or Spotify. And then you have founder-based, so users use their founder's name. This is, I've seen a lot of like legal practices use is founder-based names. And that's like Chanel, Dyson. Some people went like law firms, they'll do like say Bunton Lawyers or something like that. And then you have acronyms or abbreviations. So when a longer name can be shortened strategically. So you want to try and combine some different approaches for the maximum impact, but you want it to be short, sweet, straight to the point, like Google, Spotify.
And there's a few practical steps that you can do to choose your name. The first one is brainstorming techniques. You can use mind mapping software, word association, and competitor research. What are my competitors called? Can you make it? I mean, this is a strategic thing here. Can you pick a name that tells people exactly what it is you do, which will strategically position you as the premium go-to option in your in comparison to your competitors? You've got testing for memorability and resonance with your ideal audience. So what you can do there is you can actually reach out to your ICP and you can put some names to them and ask them what resonates with them. What would they remember? And obviously the biggest one is checking for availability. That includes, domain names, social handles, trademarks. There's a whole host of things that need to be considered. And then you want to try and iterate and narrow down ideas, and just ask for like external feedback from your family, your friends, your colleagues, your potential customers, and just really take the time to nail that perfect business name.
Some common mistakes and how to avoid them are choosing something cute but confusing, picking a name that's too narrow and limits your future growth, ignoring domain and social availability. Now, this is probably the biggest one. I've seen so many businesses choose a domain, sorry, choose a business name and going, oh, well, that's what I like, so that's what it's going to be. Not realizing that the man down the road's got the same name, that the domain's taken, and that the social medias are taken. So they end up with, underscore their name, dot underscore dot, and it doesn't look professional. And another one with creating your name, sorry, just going back, is this happens a lot in the beauty industry, and it's putting luxe or, beauty in their name. And I understand with the association of beauty, but stop putting locks in front of everything and thinking that that's going to make your brand perceive, expensive, because it's not.
Well, the problem arises when there's about another,
20 different Lux Beauties or 20
that's
different
correct,
Lux,
or
whatever.
just slight variations, because that's where the market gets confused. And to be honest, I mean, when you do things like that as well, because I've got a good bit of experience with trademark law, and registering trademarks and things, and trying to get things trademarked when, there's other things, like trying to get that word "luxe," for instance, trademarked with "beauty" and the same common name is would just be so difficult, eh?
And now another common mistake is not validating with your target audience. And the last one is copying competitors instead of trying to stand out. One thing we've seen a fair bit, I've definitely seen a fair bit in the last 5 years I've been doing business, is sometimes we'll have clients come to us and they'll show their competitors that are doing good, like a good job, and they'll say, I want what they're doing. And it's like, okay, what they're doing is cool and it looks nice, but that's not you. It's not your brand voice. It's not your business. Why are you trying to copy your competitors and just remain the same in this pool of, say marketers? Why are you trying to stay the same? You need to stand out and be different from the rest of them to really, capture that.
Or your own brand voice,
Awesome. So some actionable takeaways for you guys to implement this week is I want you to audit your current business name for clarity, memorability, and authority. I want you to brainstorm 10 to 15 potential names using different naming strategies. Test ideas with your target audience for feedback and resonance. And check domains, social handles, and trademark availability early. And last is remember, your name is the foundation, so you need to invest the time to get it right. Awesome. So for episode 36, we're taking your brand beyond a name. We're going to start diving into how to craft a story that not only captures attention, but also attracts your ideal clients and converts them into loyal customers. From messaging that resonates to narratives that builds trust, this episode will show you how to make your brand unforgettable. So it's not one that you want to miss. Awesome. Well, I'll see you for the next episode. Bye.